Have your Bibles this morning, the book of Titus, chapter number 2. We're going to read one verse here in Titus, chapter number 2. Titus, chapter number 2, and verse number 11. It tells us, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the Word of God. We thank you for this time that we have, and we ask you to help us this morning. Make us an able minister of the Word of God. Speak to our hearts. And Father, open up our hearts, each and every one of us this morning, that we might hear and receive the Word of God, that it could find good ground in our hearts to grow on. And we're thankful this morning for the grace of God that has appeared unto all men, Father, to bring unto us and to make possible salvation this morning. We pray now that you'll help us. In Jesus' name we ask, amen and amen. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. God's made it possible this morning to save me and to save you. Sister Debbie, the song that she just sang, when she sang that first line talking about saving the chiefest of sinners among us, the worst among us, the thought crossed my mind. I know Paul didn't write that song, but that's what he said of himself. Paul said, he stated about himself that among sinners he said he was chief. Meaning that he felt that there was no one that was worse than Paul. With all of the things and the knowledge that he knew, and listen, and all that he knew about the law and God's word and the prophecies and all of those things, and yet he was lost. And the things that he did, and he said that he was chief among sinners. But here in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, it said, the grace of God that bringeth salvation, it hath appeared. It hath appeared. And that's what I want to preach to you about this morning, is simply God's grace. That the grace of God has appeared. It has shown up. Just as someone that's stranded in all hope that they should be saved, it seems to be lost. And then they see a light. Somebody's coming. When they didn't think anyone would ever find them. Amen. A light shows up and they hear somebody in the distance holler and say, "Hey!" And they respond back and they say, "I'm over here." You see, this is the picture. The grace of God hath appeared. When it would seem that men were lost, that it would seem that there was no hope, that it would seem that if the devil's going to win, the grace of God hath appeared. Amen, yeah. What an appearance that the grace of God made. Because listen, when we think about the word itself, grace. What a word that grace is. And it's a good word even by man's definition. When we talk about grace and we think about what it means. Because listen, here's three things just from man's perspective. Grace is that quality within a thing that is beautiful or joyful. It may be the fragrance of a flower, the lush green color of the grass, or the beauty of a lovely person. And we talk about the grace that these things present. Grace is anything that has loveliness. It may be a lovely thought, a lovely act, a lovely word. Or a person. Well, they're just full of grace. Grace is a gift, a favor that someone might extend to a friend or extend to be friendly. It's done with no strings attached. They just show grace. And this begins to get us into the grace of God that has appeared unto all men, because all of these things are good things, and good things for us to have and good things for us to desire. But when we consider what God has done for us, we have to go deeper than these definitions. We sang the song. Maybe it was an old account was settled, and it talked about in one of those verses the depth of joy. I may not know. I may not know here. Well, there's some things I may not understand now. But one of these days, we're going to understand it. We're going to be able to see it. We're going to know as we are known. Because this thing of grace and the deep meaning of grace and the definition, what God has done for us in showering His blessings upon sinful mankind. The grace of God hath appeared unto all men. Amen. His blessings He has given to us. And we see the chief blessing that He has given to us in His Son Jesus. And it tells us in John 3:16, a most familiar verse in the Bible, maybe the most familiar verse, maybe the most quoted verse in all of the Bible. And it speaks to us, it tells us about the grace of God. Because it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The grace of God has appeared. John said, "We've seen Him," talking about Jesus. He's full of grace and truth. The grace of God. God so loved this world that He gave His only begotten Son. Grace became the kindness and love that dwells in the very nature of God. It's who God is. To say someone is gracious is a compliment. But for us to speak of the graciousness of God is otherworld. It's beyond comparison to anything that we might think about or see in this life. We get some comparisons, but the grace of God and what Jesus left and what God did to bring salvation to mankind, for us, it's hard for us to comprehend, hard for us to understand. How did God provide salvation? Amen. It's made possible by the grace of God. By God's grace. You see, the Bible tells us this in Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse number 6. "For when we were yet without strength," we didn't have any strength, we didn't have any hope, "in due time Christ died for the ungodly." For the ungodly. We live in an ungodly world. Christ died for the ungodly. Verse number 7 says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die." Scarcely. You might on occasion, somewhere you may find in this world that somebody will die for a righteous man, but scarcely. "Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I mean, this is to put the grace of God on full display to the world, is that Christ died for us, for the ungodly, that when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Not for the righteous, not because we were good men, good women, but amen, we were ungodly, we were without God, we were without strength, there was nothing in us, we were lost, we were sinners, and yet God sent Jesus, His Son, to die in our place. Amen. The grace of God. No other word so expresses the depth and riches of the heart and mind of God than in what He has done for us to bring sinners to Himself. To bring us that was ungodly. Amen. To bring us to a place where we could be the saints of God. He's done this for us. There is a vast difference between man's grace and God's grace. We do kindness and favors for folks, mostly folks that we love and folks that we know. I mean, we go outside of that sometimes, but the things in which that we do, they're not comparable to what God has done. For a minute, if you will, just think about this. Think about your worst enemy. Oh, now, preacher, we good Baptists, we ain't got no enemies. We ain't got nobody we don't like. Well, we'll pray about that later. Amen. Be honest. Okay, if you don't have a worst enemy, I mean, just think about some evil person that you know. or that you've known, somebody in history, that said, I mean, you just know they're evil. That's just their wickedness and the things that they do. You know, you cannot believe the things that they have done to other people, maybe to yourself, maybe to family. But amen, this person is brought up and he's caught, he's trapped, and he's sentenced to death. We're going to get rid of one wicked person. He's going to have to go to the executioner and he's going to have to die. Okay, don't smile too big now. You're thinking about your enemy or that evil person, that wicked person that's going to the execution chamber, going to the gallows, going wherever, but they've got a sentence of death that's been passed upon them. They're your enemy. They're one of the worst people that you know. And they're about to die. And you step in and you say, hang on just a minute. I'll take his place. I'll die. He can live. I'll step in to where he should have been. I ain't talking about a good person now. I'm not talking about a righteous person. I'm talking about the most evil person that you know. And you push him aside and say, no, that gallows for me. That firing squad's for me. That needle's for me. I'll take his place and I'll let him live. See, that's what the Bible said that God done for us. In due time, maybe in Christ died for the ungodly. Amen. The Bible says for all. A-L-L. Boy, you're talking about in this world, inclusion. There's you some inclusion. That includes everybody. Yeah. Nobody's left out. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But yet God, in His mercy and in His grace, amen, He loved us while we were what? While we were yet sinners. While we were still, amen, cursing against God, amen, maybe with every breath, while we didn't think about God, didn't want to think about God, running as hard as we could the other way, He loved us and He said, I'm going to send Jesus, my only begotten Son, and He died in our stead. The grace of God hath appeared unto all men. Then I think about Jesus as He hangs on the cross. And He says in Luke 23 and 34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted His raiments and cast lots. The grace of God is a beautiful thing for the sinner who sees himself as he is. It's why that Paul said that I was chief among sinners, because he got a good hard look at Paul. He saw Paul in all of his ungodliness and all of his sins. He saw himself and he said, I was chief. He recognized himself and said, I don't think you could get any worse than what I was. And he saved me. He saved me. The grace of God hath appeared unto all men. And then Jesus dying on the tree, He said, Father, He said, forgive them. Forgive them. Listen, we like, and most of the time the Bible tells us that for us not to think too highly of ourselves than we ought to think. But you know, we like to think, you know, well, hey, you know what? Back to that scenario, boy, if we stepped in and we said, let him go free. I'll take his place. Could we pray to the Father and say, God, forgive him. Help him. I know that he's done these things, but God, have mercy on him. You know what? I'll just be honest with you. I get like Jonah sometimes. I've experienced it in my life. Maybe you never have. But see, Jonah, God said, you go to Nineveh and preach. He went the other way. Why? Because he didn't want the grace of God for that bunch over at Nineveh. He didn't like them. They was the enemy. God, if I go, and I'm paraphrasing now, but he's telling them, if I go over there and I preach to them, and if they repent, you forgive them. He didn't want God to forgive them. He was like the disciples. You know, the disciples left, and they said, you want us to just call a little fire down from heaven? We'll take care of this bunch over here. We'll take care of this bunch of sinners right here. Boy, there's been more than one time I've thought that in my life. We just drop a little fire right here on this group of sinners and things would be a whole lot better. God, won't it be better? But the grace of God has appeared unto all men. See, there might have been a day and a time when we would have been in that group of sinners. There might have been a day and a time when we would have been walking ungodly and walking away from God. And amen, we might have been in that town that they wanted to call some fire down on. We might have been in that Nineveh over there, amen, that Jonah said, I don't want to go preach to them. Because God, if I preach, you might save somebody. You see, that happens to us because we get hurt. I mean, those folks at Nineveh, Jonah knew they was the enemy. I want to go over and preach to them a bunch of folks. Listen, I'm going to just be honest with you. Boy, there's been some folks, some things in my life, some people sometimes that I tried to pray for that was hard to pray for. But you know what? But I saw myself a whole lot better than I should have. I esteemed myself a lot higher, a lot more valuable than I should have, because while I was yet sinner, when I was still weak, in due time, in due season, God sent His Son to die for me. The grace of God had appeared unto me. And then I think about what Jesus said, Father, forgive them. And you know, during that trial, during that scenario, the things that happened was this. Pilate was in a fix. Boy, he's like a lot of folks in the world today. Some folks that, I don't know, sometimes it seems like in this world they don't care if they do good or not. You know, just, but here's where Pilate was. He wanted to release Jesus. I mean, he did. And he knew why they had him there. It was because of envy. Amen. He said, I find no fault in this man. I find no fault in him at all. He knew he had done nothing worthy of death. But amen, they persisted. They persisted. And so what happened? Pilate said, here's what I'll do. He said, it's custom. Here we are right at the Passover. It's custom that I release one to you. And so we got Barabbas over here. And boy, Barabbas, you know who he was? He was that wicked man that I talked about a while ago. He was the evil man. He was the one that, I mean, when you just thought about wicked and evil people, Barabbas was him. Pilate said, I know what I'll do. I'll bring it up. I'll tell them, do we want to release Barabbas or Jesus? Surely they're going to say, well, if that's the choices, let Jesus go. We'll try to get him later. That wasn't what they said, was it? They said Barabbas. Pilate couldn't believe it. Barabbas. And so what happened? He released unto them Barabbas. Amen. Went free. At Passover, amen, Barabbas got to go and he got released. He got set free. You know what he was? He was as guilty as sin, we say. He was guilty. You know where we are? Amen, we were as guilty as sin. But Jesus stepped in. I can picture Barabbas. They let him out of the jailhouse. They turn him loose and they take all of his shackles and all of his chains off. And they lead him out there to the opening and they say, you're free to go. And amen, I can just picture old Barabbas just rolling over in his mind how exactly this come about. But as he leaves in the distance, he hears the commotion of the people and all that's going on. And amen, and he looks as he walks across that day as they're putting Jesus, nailing him to a cross. And while he's hanging on that cross, amen, I can just picture Barabbas walking by. And in the distance, he sees Jesus nailed to an old wooden cross. And he walks by knowing, that should have been mine. That should have been mine. I heard that Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. That should have been my cross. But you see, the grace of God has appeared unto all men. What was it doing? Bringing salvation.
Amen. Amen.
I don't know, the Bible don't give us a lot about Barabbas and what happened to him thereafter. Amen. I hope and pray that after that somewhere, amen, he found God. I hope that it spoke to his heart in such a way that it moved him, that it compelled him, amen, to come to the place where he called out and cried out for God's mercy upon him, because, amen, there was Jesus on the cross, and Barabbas got to go free.
Amen.
And see, for you and me this morning, I mean, there's the substitute. There's the picture. And listen, here's the thing. We don't like to think of ourselves as Barabbas. But we were Barabbas. We may not have ever done all the things that he did. But most of the things he did, they crossed through our hearts and our minds. The grace of God hath appeared unto all men. I wonder if we've taken that walk. Have we experienced the grace of God? Have we seen ourselves as guilty sinners who deserves to die the judgment of God? But we have seen Jesus on the cross taking our place. We've seen the grace of God towards us. And when we say the grace of God, when we talk about it and say, well, that's the unmerited favor of God, do we grasp how deep that definition and how deep those words run, that the grace of God, amen, has appeared to us who were guilty, who were without strength, who were deserving of death, and yet God has sent His only Son to die in our place? See, Jesus has done something that shows that He is the perfect embodiment of grace. Jesus, full of beauty, full of joy, full of loveliness and goodness, full of favors, freely given, and full of kindness and love freely demonstrated. You see, Titus tells us in chapter number 3 and verse 4, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Amen. Amen. We've got hope this morning. We've got hope. You ask, what do you count on? You say you're going to heaven. What do you base that on? Jesus. That's it. Not on my good works. I pray God help me to do good works. That's what He's created me for. But amen, my merit, everything lies, it's in Jesus. Amen, it's because of the grace of God that's been shown toward me. The grace of God has appeared unto all men.
Amen, amen.
Grace. Nobody go nowhere, I'm not planning on singing. But who knows, I might just burst out in song. There is joy divine that is ever mine, since the Lord has forgiven me, pardoned me. And I work and sing for my blessed King. By His grace I have been made free. He will ever keep when the tempests sweep, and hath grace for each trying hour, every hour. So I go in love to this friend above, ever trusting His grace and power, grace and power. Oh, this wondrous grace is for all the race. It is boundless and full and free. Full and free. And I trust and cling to my blessed King, who by grace now is keeping me keeping me. Amen. The course says there is grace for every need. Grace for you. Grace for me. Keeping true. Keeping free. Precious saving grace indeed. Flowing from the throne above. Grace to cover all my sin. Grace to all who believe. Oh, this grace now receive. Full forgiveness. All may win. Yes, there's grace in the Lord's perfect love. The grace of God has appeared unto all men. I want you to stand with me this morning. We're going to sing Amazing Grace. We're going to sing the whole thing. And amen, while we sing this morning, if you have a prayer need, if God spoke to your heart, if you need to come and pray this morning, amen, I ask that you come while we sing.